Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Well, a lot of polls and a lot of numbers, and we like it when they agree. Every once in a while, we get some numbers that make us turn our heads or say, wow, things have really changed. But there is difference in the way polls are conducted as well. And I want to bring in a couple of pollsters for the rest of this hour. I want to start with Bernie Porn of Epic MRA, a frequent guest on the show. Hello, Bernie. How are you?
I'm doing dandy. How are you, Jack?
Just fine. Is there a big difference in the way some of these political polls are conducted?
Yes. Our polls are... our primary polls are 400 samples, statewide surveys, and we stratify the results so that it reflects in the 400 sample what the turnout would be from each of the areas of the state in a Democratic primary election. And then we go through a process of screening to make sure that we're getting someone who is a primary voter and someone who is going to be voting in a Democratic primary. And then we ask them the questions about how they're going to vote. Poll that most recently came out, and I know Mark is going to be on following me. He has a product that is called micropolling, mm-hmm. and that is an automated survey research tool, much okay. like Rasmussen uses, except. The difference is that he bills it as something that's useful for those very small campaigns, county commission, right. school board, what have you, where he'll make a thousand phone calls and get maybe 100 or 150 responses, and that gives you a plus or minus 10%, but it at least is giving the candidate something useful in terms of what may be something that would be a benefit to their campaign. However, recently, I know that Bill Ballinger has right. purchased some of these polls. When you get up to using that level of a sample size for a U.S. congressional race, and then most recently an 87 sample, and making projections on the statewide results in a Democratic primary based on that, and then I know Bill was saying that. Well, there's a pattern in the I-75 corridor where he's showing more strength in the Bay County area. Well, that would be based on what, about, you know, 9 or 10 respondents. The error rate for 50 respondents is plus or minus 13.9%. I get a little uncomfortable when folks are making those kind of prognostications. Every sample that you see from Rasmussen that uses the same automated polling technique, they have a lot of the same questions that we use, but they have no less than like 500 or 600 interviews, and they'll make several thousand calls until they get those numbers.
All right. Someone told me they thought that this year, all right, we're talking about the 2010 gubernatorial race, that if you have this kind of polling, robo-polls or whatever you want to call them, that people care enough to respond, this would maybe correspond to people who would be committed enough to go out and vote in a primary, and it would give you more relevance than some people might think.
Well, I can see how folks may say that, but it all boils down to a sample size, and the national standards in terms of polling. If you start telling them, well, we're basing this on 100 or 150, well, they laugh at you, and that is not to say that that the conclusion that they came up with. I said a long time ago that Andy Dillon has no right, given his position on issues, winning the Democratic primary. But if Virg Bernero does not have the money to run a campaign, and at one point I didn't think that he would raise that money, and indeed he has not. Mm-hmm. But the labor organizations have put a little over $1 million into the Genesee County Democratic Party, and they right. are doing the advertising for him, and he is accomplishing, I believe, what he needed to do, and that is make a connection between his job and his name, which early in our polling, when we did a biographical sketch after the cold question, that moved Bernero into the lead. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the real numbers right now are closing.
Very
and
close.
And maybe even Bernero's in a lead. But that will be based on a survey. As a matter of fact, we're in the field even as we speak, and within the next couple of days here, we'll have some results.
The best poll we're going to have is the one a week from tomorrow.
Well, that's true. It's almost as good as our. No, I wouldn't say that.
Thanks so much, Bernie. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Bernie Porn of Epic MRA, and want to bring in Mark Grebner, Practical Political Consulting, and he has done tremendous work in these parts in terms of having voter lists and being able to contact voters. Bill Ballinger was talking last week about your poll and how it had some numbers that we hadn't seen before, and maybe you were on top of a trend.
Well, when we went out in the field, very small sample size, mm-hmm. but we went out last week, and our numbers were definitely not consistent with the Epic MRA poll of a couple weeks ago that showed a large Dillon lead.
Right.
By the time we were out there, we showed probably Bernero ahead, although well within our margin of error because our poll was so small.
Right. Does that talk about the campaigns and maybe some momentum that Virge Bernero could have?
Yeah, I think that what's happening is that Dillon has positioned himself badly. I think that Dillon's idea was that he could just tell people who he is and that somehow people would vote for him. But what he's done is he's set himself up to be against all the major interest groups of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pro-choice women, the MEA, the UAW, gays. And that may not be true in a deeper sense, but at this point, the voters only know at most one sentence about each of the candidates.
Right.
And the one sentence that is getting across about Dillon to a lot of people is that he's against them on whatever it is they care about. So as the campaign gets just a little bit of steam, I think the typical voter still doesn't know very much, and here we are 7 days out, but as the voter gets to know that first little bit about them, Dillon is positioned so that he can't pick up support from people learning about him.
Mm-hmm.
The more people know, that little bit costs him votes, doesn't get him votes.
Mark Grebner, Practical Political Consulting, our guest. Mark, a lot of people have said that Andy Dillon's campaign, he comes across almost professorial, whereas Virge Bernero stokes your fire, stirs your passion a little bit, and those are the people more likely to go out and vote in a primary.
Well, you know, in this case, we're going to have such a low turnout that the people voting are the usual suspects.
Okay.
I mean, I can just give you a list, and I'm, you know, there's not going to be anybody voting who is not a regular primary voter who somehow Virge stoked their passions.
Are those people who are more likely to vote for Virge Bernero based on their political interests?
They're the ones who are voting in the Democratic primary, because the Republican primary is so interesting and has pulled a lot of people off. The ones who are left to vote in the Democratic primary are Democrats. They're just plain Democrats. I mean, they like Obama. They're pro-choice, mostly. They're anti-war. They're generally liberals. I mean, they're Democrats. They're mm-hmm. just knowledgeable, reading, older. You know, 60 years old is typical.
Mm-hmm.
Older, but knowledgeable people. And as the turnout drops to a number like 600 or 650,000, we're talking about a relatively select group of people. We're not talking about people who have only a vague connection with the political system.
Right. We have about 1 minute left here, Mark. Can you give us some insight on the Republicans and these four guys, and it seems like they're jockeying back and forth?
It really is like a horse race, and there are three horses in the lead and one just a little bit behind. Bouchard just a couple paces off the lead,
mm-hmm.
but Snyder, Cox, and Hoekstra all at the front, and all of them sort of jostling for position as they're going down toward the finish. It's going to be pretty exciting, and any of them may break down, or one of them could stick out his neck a little bit and just barely get through. It's actually a pretty interesting race, and of course they're all trying to trip each other, all fouling as they go.
Well, we don't know how many of these politicians will want to stick their neck out. They haven't done a lot of that thus far, but it'll be very interesting to watch, and I'm sure you'll have more numbers coming up in the next week.
Well, I have lots of numbers. The question is which one Bill wants to release.
Well, we'll check with Bill on that Friday. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks so much. Mark Grebner, Practical Political Consulting. And it was his poll that turned a lot of heads last week. Showed that Virge Bernero had jumped into a double-digit lead in this gubernatorial race. We hadn't seen that before, but it may be part of a trend. It may be something that is moving in that direction. We'll be right back with Hour 2. We're going to talk with Mike Hughes, syndicated television columnist, Denise Peake, executive director of the Entrepreneur Institute, coming up next.